Hello and welcome once again to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word Hand Car Washing Business located in Churchill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And my wife and I, we own and operate the hand car washing business, and we do it so that we can put these Verse by Verse Bible Teaching messages into your ears via the washandword.com website, or you can come by the Wash and Word building and tune to 107.1 FM. We play these messages on a loop, and you can listen to them on WMCH 1260 AM Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. So let us get back into our verse by verse Bible teaching. Again, if you have any questions or you want to know any information about this business or about this ministry, just go to washandword.com. That's wash, letter N, word.com. We are in the book of Jonah, and we're going to begin chapter 3. In fact, we're going to read the entire chapter, and then we're going to go back and kind of expound on it in a verse-by-verse format. So, if you would, with me, chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. All right, let's stop there. That's the entire chapter 3. And we've already looked at chapter 1 where Jonah runs from the Lord. We looked at the belly of the beast and the whale in chapter 2. And now we're going to look at what the Ninevites responding and how they responded to this message. And so the obvious theme after having read chapter 3 for this chapter is about obedience. And I know, nobody wants to hear about obedience yet again. In fact, one might say this is going to be a regurgitated message. But this message is also about revival. The whole city repents. Now, isn't that a tough one to swallow? Well, chew on this. It's also about grace. And this chapter is about evangelism. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, throw up that back at us. And if you can stomach one more, this chapter is also about repentance. Forgive those ridiculous puns and please stay with me. But with so many topics that we could talk about, again, there's obedience, there's revival, there's grace, there's evangelism, there's repentance. We could literally spend 5 messages talking about each and every one of these, or we can kind of come up with a different approach. So I'm going to treat this in a 3-part approach. And I'm going to start off by giving you things that I want you to know. And you can call it just know what I want you to know. And based on what we read in chapter 3, the things that I want you to know are as follows. Number 1, God's call does not change. His word does not change. His will does not change. Only circumstances change. I'll say that again because I want you to know this. God's call does not change. His word does not change. His will does not change. Only circumstances change. In verse 1, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." You see, if you have rejected a previous call on your life, there is still time to go back and take up God on that call. You see, nothing has changed in God's eyes or in the camp of the Lord except the circumstances you now find yourself in. God's call is the same. God's word is the same. His will is the same. Everything that he has called you to do is the same. The only thing that's changed are the circumstances. And surprisingly enough, most of the lessons you've probably learned in your life were not learned by the successes that you've had, but by the failures. A wise man can learn a lot from his own mistakes, but an even wiser man learns from the mistakes of others. The Word of God is a lot of things, and one of them is a book of other people's mistakes, written down so that you don't have to make the same ones. And that is a wise man's approach to reading the Word. But mistakes are not the problem. It's the lessons learned that is. One ball player set the major league record for strikeouts with 1,316 of them. The same player set a record for 5 consecutive strikeouts in a World Series game. The holder of both records was the great slugger Babe Ruth. So it doesn't matter if you fail or you disobeyed God at some point in your life. What matters is what you do with the circumstances now that you're in them. It's not about how many times you strike out, but how many times you hit the home run. And you cannot hit a home run unless you're willing to swing hard enough to run the risk of striking out. Again, if you have rejected a previous call on your life, the lesson that we can learn from Jonah is that there is still time to go back and answer that call. Anticipate that failure and mistakes are a part of this Christian walk. Did you hear about the guy who is both a taxidermist and a veterinarian? Yeah, he has a sign on his door that says, "Either way, you get your dog back." You know, that's the way we got to look at this walk. It's hard enough as it is. Let's not make it any harder on ourselves. But either way, God says, win or lose, fail or succeed, either way, go for it. Put your faith in what I've given you to do. Thomas Edison spent more than $100,000 to obtain 6,000 different fiber specimens, and only 3 of them proved satisfactory. Each failure brought him that much closer to the solution to his problem. His friend Henry Ford was right when he said that failure was the opportunity to begin again more intelligently. So whatever reason that you have neglected the call of God on your life in the past, it is not too late to make up for it today. The second thing I want you to know about chapter 3 is that you are not responsible for what you say. It's your parents' fault. No, I'm kidding. But listen, that may sound like a contradictory statement. You are not responsible for what you say. But look at verse 2. It says, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Now, getting back to what I just said, you are not responsible for what you say. Now, of course, you're responsible for what you say. But the point is, people need the word of God, not the word of Todd. You know what I'm saying? They don't need to hear what you have to say. Anyone listening to my voice right now doesn't need to hear what I have to say. They need to hear what God has to say. They need to hear what the Word has to say. And sure, you have a testimony that you're probably sitting on that has a lot of power in it. But again, God gave Jonah the message, and we find our commission is also in the Word of God. Jesus said, go and preach to all the nations and make disciples out of them. So I guess a better way to say it might be, you're not responsible for what you're supposed to say. You're not responsible for the message that you have been given to give to others. You're definitely responsible for how you say it. But the message itself, you're not responsible for what you have to say. You have to say what God told you to say. Jonah had to say what God told him to say. That was not his responsibility. It wasn't his choice. It wasn't his luxury to pick and choose. If you have an important point to make, you don't try to be subtle or clever. No, you use a pile driver and you hit it once and you go back and you hit it again and then you hit it a third time and you drive it home with a tremendous whack. Listen, there is a general will of God for believers, and there is a personal will of God for believers. And that general will of God for all Christian believers is to promote the gospel, to spread the message. And the personal will of God for each and every individual and Christian, I don't know what that is. I mean, that's the personal will of God. That's between you and Him. So, firstly, we need to know that God's call does not change, His word does not change, His will does not change, only circumstances change. Secondly, you are not responsible for what you say, because God has given you the message to say. And thirdly, I want you to know that God has to do a work in you before He can do a work through you. And I touched on this a little bit earlier. We all can't be as blessed as Jonah and be swallowed by a big fish. And yes, as we looked at that, that was a blessing because it was a rescue, not a punishment. Again, God has to do a work in you before He can do a work through you. And our natural tendency, our natural reaction is to do like Jonah and run from the things God has called us to do because they're hard and they require sacrifice. And unless your heart is in the right place, our natural tendency takes over, and that is to go in the opposite direction. It's a natural reaction to God. It's the fleshly nature. It's the part of you, the Adamic nature that you were born with and that you contend with for the rest of your known Christian life. But we could get past that. You see, the obedience of Jonah, the eventual obedience of Jonah, was the result of God doing a work first in him. And then he is able to do the work through him. The message stays the same, and the results stay the same. The circumstances are the only thing that change. Remember, God's word and will and message always stays the same. But the result, or rather the circumstances, are what changes. In Psalm 51, verse 17, it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." See, God is trying to bring us to that point. And the question is, are we allowing God to do that work? I read that a man, after 25 years with one company, was still doing the same old job and drawing the same salary. And so one day he finally went to his boss and told him he felt like he had been neglected. "After all," he said, "I've had a quarter of a century of experience." "My dear fellow," sighed the boss, "you haven't had a quarter of a century of experience. You've had one experience for a quarter of a century." Man, is that define the Christian life? Are you doing the same thing over and over again for 50 years, 20 years, 10 years? Or are you doing something different each year? I know Christians who are 1 year old in Christ times 20, not 20 years old in Christ. You get what I'm trying to say there. Listen, when God wants to do an impossible task, He takes an impossible man or woman and breaks them. Charles Spurgeon said that. God often uses painful things to bring about His glory. And so those three things I want you to know, that God's word, will, and plan never changes. I want you to know that that you're not responsible for the message. It's God's message, and God has to do work through you. before he can do, or rather do a work in you before he can do a work through you. Well, that's it for today. We got two more things I want you to know before we move on to what I want you to feel. So join me again tomorrow. Have a blessed day.